You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for Cynthia Canty. The former dean of the U.S. House of Representatives, John Conyers, died yesterday. He was 90. The congressman was known for his staunch representation of his Detroit-based district and for withering lines of questioning during committee hearings. He also was known for his work on civil rights. Here is Conyers in a series called His Dream, Our Stories, about advocating for Martin Luther King Jr. to receive a holiday to honor his memory.
I can remember some people said, well, he was very good, but you can't get a holiday for Dr. King. There were too many people that didn't agree with his ideas of equality and fairness and democracy. When it came to people of all colors. And it took a long while before that became a reality.
And Conyers was also known for introducing legislation to look at reparations for descendants of enslaved African Americans. He introduced H.R. 40 at the beginning of every term.
Out of that introduction of legislation, a whole new interest in the subject, I'm happy to say, it was developed, and many people are working on it.
In recent years, Conyers' reputation was tarnished amidst allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct. Conyers resigned under pressure over the allegations in 2017. Here he is on the Mildred Gaddis radio program in Detroit.
This too shall pass. And I want you to know that my legacy will continue through my children.
The Detroit congressman's storied career spanned more than 50 years. Here to talk more about who John Conyers was and his legacy is Ken Coleman, author, journalist, and a Detroit Black history buff. Ken, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so let's start there at the end of Conyers' career and, of course, at the end of his life. What did those most recent months look like for him, and how did he work to regain whatever he had lost by resigning his post?
Well, they were tragic, a tragic set of months, to be sure, not only for Conyers, but for tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of constituents in his Northwest Detroit, and it expanded out outside the city. In the last several terms, but lots of Metro Detroiters who remembered a much happier and spirited time in John Conyers' tenure as a U.S. House member. You know, as we write political obituaries and biographies are written about great political leaders, it's always complicated, right? In almost every case. Conyers, for more than 50 years, was clearly a stalwart for the civil rights and human rights communities, not only in Michigan as a U.S. House member representing the state, but throughout the country. A lot of us grew up sort of recognizing that John Conyers was just not our U.S. House member in Detroit. But he really was sort of a national House member, sometimes criticized for missing votes on Capitol Hill because he would go to another part of the country to represent a group of oppressed people who shared the values that he shared. It is very, very much John Conyers' legacy is a complicated mosaic, but a very inspirational and aspirational mosaic.
Well, so who was John Conyers before he ran for office, and how did he decide to go into politics?
It's a great question. John Conyers, like tens of thousands of Detroit families, moved to the Motor City from the South. His family came here from Georgia during the Great Migration period in the 1920s. John Conyers was born in Detroit in 1929, right on the cusp of the Great Depression, and then ultimately his formative years through the Second World War. He and his family grew up in Northwest Detroit in a community that we call the Old West Side. It was a tight-knit, upwardly mobile, middle-class Black community that included family names that we all know today, Gordys, Gordy as in the legendary Motown family, but also Judge Damon Keith, who was several years older but grew up in that neighborhood. Conyers graduated high school from Northwestern High in Detroit and went on to earn a law degree at Wayne State University.
So when he goes to Congress, what does Congress look like, especially for a black politician in 1965 when he takes office?
It's Lily White. It's Lily right. White, to be sure. He's sworn in January of 1965. But the great news in terms of diversity, the great news about Conyers is he has a sort of political big brother and U.S. House member Charles Diggs Jr., who also represents a portion of Detroit and was elected in 1954. And Diggs and Conyers go on to not only represent Detroit, but represent really swaths of the country that where African-Americans and other oppressed people live, but don't necessarily have a person of color to represent them on, in terms of votes on Capitol Hill. Here's a great trivia question that a lot of people don't really know, or a trivia fact. John Conyers almost didn't make it to the U.S. House of Representatives. Hmm. On September 1st, 1964, he bested in a Democratic primary race, he bested Richard H. Austin. Austin went on to become our Michigan Secretary of State, but Conyers beat Austin by a mere 108 votes on that September 1st primary. And it also went to a recall. And after the recall, Conyers won by only 43 votes. And so the man who became the longest serving African-American in the U.S. House of Representatives almost didn't get there.
Almost never was. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, in later years, he was seen as a statesman who understood and played Washington politics well. He had bipartisan collegial relationships. His replacement, Rashida Tlaib, has been seen as a pot stirrer so far, and is happy, I think, in that position to be doing so. Did Conyers ever carry that reputation?
I think he did, and I'll go one step further. I mean, and Laura, you certainly understood that race to replace him. Many candidates in that primary, several African Americans, and Rashida Tlaib ended up being the Democratic nominee. I'll go as far as to say, out of all of those men and women, some of whom are African American, who vied for that primary seat to replace John Conyers, Tlaib really does represent the best embodiment of who John Conyers was from a political standpoint. His voting record, the initiatives that which he had interest. Rashida Tlaib, I think, embodies that best in terms of being John Conyers-like.
Ken Coleman, author and a reporter with MichiganAdvance.com, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.